السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله النبي الكريم. إن الحمد لله ونحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرورنا ومن شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وسندنا وإمامنا ومولانا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الناس إن كنتم في ريب من البعث فإنا خلقناكم من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم من علقة ثم من مضغة مخلقة وغير مخلقة لنبين لكم، ونقر في الأرحام ما نشاء إلى أجل مسمى ثم نخرجكم طفلا ثم لتبلغوا أشدكم، إلى آخر الآية. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهذا مفهوم الحديث: يا أيها الناس قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أيضا: من قال لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله المولانا العظيم، وصدق مولانا رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد والشكر لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, guests and scholars in Islam, Allah Jalla wa Ala has appropriately described himself in the 15th juz of the Quran al-Kareem in the following manner: Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innahu huwas sami'ul basir. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, blessed is that being who had taken his servant on a journey by night. من المسجد الحرام, from the Masjid al-Haram, the sanctified masjid, إلى المسجد الأقصى, to the furthest masjid, Masjid al-Aqsa, الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, that place which is sanctified itself, so that we could show him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from our signs, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is سَمِيعٌ and basir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he is all hearing, all seeing. But what is beautiful about the interpretation, or rather the translation of this ayah, is the fact that Allah jalla wa ala has attributed greatness, which greatness does belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has somehow coupled the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not in need of anything. One of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hamidun. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hamidun. Hamid means that Allah jalla wa ala is that being that is worthy of praise, whether we praise him or not. Allah jalla wa ala is that being that is worthy of praise, whether we praise him or not. Whether we worship him or not, Allah jalla wa ala is the creator. Whether we prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. That is why ulama say, and the hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us, that if all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to become subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they comply with the rulings and the shari'i teachings of Allah jalla wa ala, if all of the creation and all of mankind and jinn and those creation that are mukallaf and the sharia applies to, if they become compliant with every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't increase the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. Because Allah is the embodiment of greatness. And similarly, if all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to, as a united force, decide not to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and decide to renegade and transgress and violate and break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the qasam of Allah, it doesn't decrease His greatness in anything. Ulama teach us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being that is the greatest being, and everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is easy. There is no such a thing in the kingdom and the domain and the command and the rule and the sovereignty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as something being easier. Everything is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Thus Allah is that being who, if He intends something or desires something, all He needs to do is say, be, and it is. Ulama say, this ayah in the Quran, again, is only there for our purpose, because Allah doesn't even have to say, be, and it is. If we go into the tafsir and the explanation of Jannah, scholars mention to us through the beautiful teaching of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the inheritors of Jannah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the neighbors of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can make whatever dua we want to make, as long as it's not a haram dua. So when you're asking, ask for wholesale. Why go retail? Nonetheless, scholars mention that in Jannah, just to somehow come to some sort of an understanding, that in Jannah, when the individual is in Jannah, before he even asks for something, the mere thought of something will have that thing presented before him. And this is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some brothers are already thinking, we know what we're going to be thinking. Nonetheless, if this is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that has such a capacity, and such a qudra, and such a quality, that is Allah endowed, then why will it be necessary for Allah to say be and then it comes into being? No. Allah doesn't have to say be. Be is for you and I, who even when we say be, things don't happen. Allah Jalla wa Ala just wants to express and explain to us how weak and feeble we are. That, O insan, even you that are in full control, or supposedly in full control of everything that you do, or supposedly, as we said, even if you say be, things don't happen. And the karama of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the mu'jiza of the anbiya alayhim salatu wa taslim, the miracles that they had come with, also were dependent on the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So scholars say, never mind saying be, the time it takes to say the kaf and the noon, between the time it takes to say the kaf and the noon, Allah does some things or everything quicker than that as well. Falhamdulillah ala dhalik. So when we speak about this beautiful Allah and this great Allah, it's wonderful to note how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised Himself. Because as we said, Allah is praiseworthy. He's not in need of any praise. But it's amazing to note how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has drawn our attention to certain things so that we can bring those qualities into our life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, praised is that Allah, blessed is that Allah, superior is that Allah, and then he associates his greatness with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asra bi'abdihi, who had taken his servant. Now Mufti Shafi Sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, in the Ma'arif al-Quran makes mention of a beautiful thing. First of all, he mentions the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not say, subhanalladhi asra fi laylin wahida, that Allah is blessed and glorified who took Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one complete night. No. He says, laylam. And in Arabic, this is something which is referred to as not having any sort of defined space. Laylam means it's indefinite. It's not ma'rifa, it's nakira. It's something which is indefinite. And indefinite means it's not the entire thing, it's only a portion of the night. So the being that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a portion of the night. But again, that's not what we're highlighting here. Laylam, and then he takes from this portion of the night, but who does he take? Allah Jalla wa Ala bi abdihi. He takes the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mufti Shafi' Asab mentions, Allah Jalla wa Ala could have said in the Quran, Subhana alladhi asra bi rasulihi. Subhana alladhi asra bi Muhammad. Subhana alladhi asra bi Muzammil. Subhana alladhi asra bil Mudathir. La la. Allah Jalla wa Ala has specifically mentioned asra bi abdihi. That glorified is that Allah who had taken His servant, which ultimately translates to the following. We cannot, remember Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam achieved that status because he was the embodiment of what a slave of Allah Jalla wa Ala is supposed to be. And when he got to that stage, Allah conferred upon him mi'raj, such an honor which no other prophet has enjoyed. Why? Because he was absolute in nature. And in one particular regard, that was being a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that Allah Himself said, بِعَبْدِهِ, this is my servant, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in essence, brothers, what we understand from this very first ayah that we're speaking about today, is that until and unless we don't become the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a servant ought to be, we'd never be able to enjoy the privilege of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as that privilege is. We'd never be able to enjoy what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors are and what worshipping Him really is until we truly fathom what a servant entails. What does being a servant mean? In order to understand what being a servant means, we sometimes have to go into the definition of who Allah is. Because somehow, if you understand who the boss is, and if he has a certain nature, then you'll understand the employees have to also operate in a similar manner. If the manager is strict, the employees toe the line. If the manager has an iron hand, the employees toe the line. We're not saying that you must be strict and have an iron hand, because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was absolutely strict as strict can be in the kindest manner possible. May Allah grant us the ability to be like that. Being strict doesn't mean you have to be angry. Being strict doesn't mean you have to swear. Being strict doesn't mean you have to rebuke and tell people how low they are. So Allah grant us the understanding. Nonetheless, so it must somehow become of the individual to go into some sort of an understanding of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And that's what we're discussing today. Do we actually know? Some of us that are here, alhamdulillah, most of us, 20 plus, 20, 30, 40. And we asked the question the other day, if somebody has to come to you and I, and ask you questions about Iman and Islam, you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you pray to this being that is Allah, you pray to God, this one God that you talk about, I want you to define your God for me. Why do you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I ask a man in the morning, why are you going to work? He says, obviously, I'm going to work to secure some sort of income. Very good. Why are you driving this car? I'm driving this car because I like this car. Why you married this woman? I married this woman, no other choice. But, I married this woman because I really like this woman. Whatever the case might be, everybody has a reason for doing certain things. So why do you worship Allah? Now you spend 30 years in the dunya, and most of us have at least, in this proximity, have at least prayed for 5 years. Most of us that are sitting here, have at least with consistency prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 5 years. So after you've prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're supposed to have prayed for 20, 30, 40, the years that we are in existence. But after you've prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and supposedly made sujood to Him 5 times a day, and almost 34, 40 times a day going up and down and touching the floor again, what can you define Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or who can you define Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as? What? A celestial being? Who? Some sort of understanding in your mind. Can you define Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If somebody has to come to you and say, if you tell me who your Allah is and I'm convinced that you're worshipping Him for that reason, I'll bring the deen of Islam in totality. I'll accept and become a Muslim. Will we, as the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take that aside, and the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who at some time in our lives did go down, cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, made dua, Allah make this easy for me, Allah, take this difficulty away from me. We cried, we teared. To who were we crying? To what being were we worshipping? Where were we directing our worship? Or has it been, Allah save us, has it been that for the past 20, 30 or 40 years, we have been worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for some sort of material gain? Or we have been worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was described to us by our parents and they said, do it. Or because we have to go to the masjid on Friday, and that keeps our identity as Muslims. We're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we are Muslims. That's why we're worshipping Allah. You ask anybody, why do you pray to Allah? And they say, because I'm a Muslim. Very rarely will you say, I pray to Allah because Allah sustains me. I pray to Allah because Allah made me wake up this morning, you know. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah is keeping my marriage going. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah blessed me with wonderful children. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah has guided me to this. وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ أَلَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا. That Allah that we need to be understanding and envisaging and trying to comprehend. What did the hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach us? Jibreel Amin asks the question, he says, O Muhammad, what is ihsan? So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you are seeing Him. If we haven't understood who Allah is and the greatness of Allah, how can we even get to that stage as if we are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. And okay, if you haven't understood Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you haven't somehow created this concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, then at least know that Allah is watching us. But it's only possible to start seeing something if we understand that thing. Allah Jalla wa Ala says in the Quran, Allahu la ilaha illa hu, al-hayyul qayyum. Allah is the omnipresent, He's one, He's the only. He's absolute, He's ever living, and He's self-subsistent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not dependent on anybody. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm. People will say, we heard this before. It doesn't matter how many times you heard it. It's how many times you put it into practice. When was the last time that we actually stood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala believing that Allah is watching me? You notice this, brothers, we're making the subs. We're getting up for the prayer. And whilst we are getting up for the prayer, somebody comes into the line next to us. And we look at him and we realize, oh, it's a friend of mine. Now the iqama is being called out. Your mindset's supposed to be a bit different. You're supposed to be focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you tap him and you say, hey, how is it? What's happening, man? You watching the game this evening? So that is why the complaint of the Muslim ummah or ummati is that I am not feeling my ibadah. Obviously you can't feel the ibadah because perhaps we're not worshipping as worship is supposed to have been carried out. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, I am that being whose sleep no slumber comes upon me. I don't even wink. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. To Allah belongs everything that is in the skies and in the earth. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى. Allah Jalla wa Ala, the skies belong to Him. The earth belongs to Him. I find it amazing that these fools in some sort of a system, a space system, are now saying that you can buy a plot on the moon. It's not your moon, brother. It's Allah's moon. You don't have access to it except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you permission to do so. You want to sell me a plot that doesn't even belong to you. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Whatever is in the earth also belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes man might think, but I purchased it. So you purchased it, you got title deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you might think you own it. What about وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا? Just to make you understand how great I am, I own the space between the sky and the earth. Now lay a claim there. Who lives in suspension? Really? وَمَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Insan, you're such a foolish man. I own the skies, you didn't believe it. I own the earth, you didn't accept it. I own between the earth and the skies, you still didn't accept it. I own even that which is beneath the earth. مِنْهَا خَلَقَنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. Allah is not an ordinary being. He's a being that deserves to be worshipped. He's a being that deserves to be recognized. He's a being that deserves to be understood in some sort of an understanding. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. We need to go back and take lessons from these people. He becomes the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he rejects everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, "Alladhi khalaqani fahuwa yahdeen." That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created me, then he guided me. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينِي. Then he fed me and he satiated me. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِي. That Allah, when I became sick, he cured me. Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't say that Allah, he makes me sick. He said that Allah, when I became sick, فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِي, then he cures me. وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينِي. That same Allah that will give me death, the same Allah that will cause me to rise again, this is the Allah that I worship. فَنَظَرَ نَظَرَةً فِي النُّجُومِ. He ponders on the stars and he says, هَذَا رَبِّي. When the stars disappear, he says, it can never be that Allah disappears. You hear people and the elders are saying, and our people that have some sort of connection with Allah, they're saying we find Allah in everything that we do. They're saying we find Allah everywhere we go. However we want, whatever we do, whenever we do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. And why won't Allah be with such an individual when He has given a promise and He had said, if you do as I do, if you do as I say and I command, I'll become your eyes, I'll become your ears, I'll become your hands. People are not understanding and appreciating and finding Allah because they have lost Allah. You put the wrong directions in the garment, brother, you're not going to get to the destination at all. You give your understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's a blurred understanding. There's an understanding that doesn't exist. There's an understanding of what you assume Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be. Without properly understanding and comprehending who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, worship will never give you contentment. Rabia Basriya rahmatullah alayha used to say, I wish to go equipped with a flame in my hand. And I wish to burn Jannah and Jahannam. Because it seems that people are worshipping Allah for Jannah and Jahannam. People need to worship Allah for who Allah is. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينِي وَالَّذِي أَطْمَعُ أَن يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي. Then I have this faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will forgive my sins. He was a sinless man. So were all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recognized Allah jalla wa ala to such a degree. Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, he used to become so involved in worshipping Allah, so engrossed in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that at times his feet would swell because of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion she told him, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has already declared and decreed that there is forgiveness for you. لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ وَيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ. Your past sins, your previous sins, your future sins, all are forgiven even though you don't have any sins. O Prophet of Allah, why do you continue to put such stress and strain upon yourself? What did he reply? أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. If my Allah had granted me such a great, mustn't I be a thankful slave? Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam is in communication. Brothers, the problem that this ummah is facing is that we don't communicate anymore. We don't communicate at home. We don't communicate with the schools. We don't communicate in businesses. There's email, sometimes females, Allah save us. There's all of the other things that we are supposed to be doing, or rather, not supposed to be. Those things, wonderful, they tools, they mechanisms, they all instruments. But the actual communication, the one-on-one, the personal touch, speaking to your father, speaking to your brother, communicating, pouring out your heart, and most importantly, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, if you think that this is not part and parcel of deen, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Take their opinion, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When was the last time that we actually had a decent conversation with Allah? When was the last time that we had a decent conversation with Allah? Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam is about 80 some odd years. He makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He starts talking to Allah. We make dua, but we don't even know how to make dua. He starts talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيَّا. He calls out to Allah in a soft tone. And he says, رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيَّا. He says, Allah, I got a problem. And I thought, who better to discuss the problem with than you? إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي. My bones have become brittle and fragile. Now you're talking to Allah, not like Allah doesn't know about it. Allah knows exactly what our condition is. Allah, I made a mistake. Okay, we were going with some friends. We weren't supposed to go there. And unfortunately, my nafs and shaitan got the better part of me. Can you understand the magnanimity of such a discussion with Allah? Inshallah, we came to this place and really my heart wasn't into it. And somehow, for some reason, I got drawn into the activity. I'm not saying that I didn't want to do it. I did when I was doing it. But I feared you, Allah. And now, with full regret, I'm turning to you. Allah, you think it's possible to forgive me? Huh? Imagine such a discussion. وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. He says, Allah, my hair is gone white. وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيَّا. But I have absolutely no doubt that when I ask, you will answer. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Why won't you answer, Allah? You promised me that you'll answer. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِي. Says, I call on and I answer the person who calls on to me. Mention is made in the books of history of a person that worshipped an idol for 70 years of his life. Okay? And every day he would say, Ya Sanam, Ya Sanam, Ya Sanam, Ya Sanam. Sounds like an Indian tune, whatever the case might be. Every day he would call out, Oh my idol, Oh my idol. One day on the slip of his tongue. Brothers, we haven't understood Allah. One day on the slip of his tongue. Instead of saying Sanam, he calls out and he says, Ya Samad. Mistake. One occasion, one moment in the day, a wrong moment also. In the heavens above, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, Oh my Banda, what is it that you desire? Malaika become moved, they say, Allah, wait a minute. We're not understanding this whole situation. 70 years the man never called you. Today he's calling you not because he wanted to call you, slip of the tongue. Allah said he called on by my name, my attribute. If I don't answer, who's going to answer? أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانْ. I answer the call of that man who calls on to me. No network required. No topping up necessary. No contract that you have to pay at the end of the month. Actually, this is such a contract that the more you use it, the more you are rewarded. The contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Allah, I got a bit of a problem. I'm old, I'm cold, but I want a son. Ya Rab. Means, Allah, the means is over. We've tried what we could try. Now it's not possible anymore. A man that's living in a small home says, Allah, I want a mansion. He's working in a job that's earning 3,000, 4,000 rand a month. And he's saying, Allah, I want a mansion. Why not? Ask for it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah might give you something which is better than a mansion. Dua that we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ever goes unanswered. So he says, Allah, this is my desire, my wish. I want you to do this for me. Please, Allah, you make it possible for me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the malaika with khush khabri and some sort of glad tidings. They say to him, Oh Zakariya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you your wish. Now you know, very similar to when you give a proposal and the answer comes back and the person says, she said yes. Then you say, are you sure? Just say it again, run that by me again. So when they came to Zakariya alayhi salatu wa taslim, they said to him that look, your request was put into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah looked at the request and he's honoring the request. And why won't he honor the request? You're a good man. And even if you're not a good man, Allah is going to honor your request or something better. So he can't believe it. He's moved beyond emotion and he says, okay, look, we have to make some preparations, you know. But just tell me, how is Allah going to do this? Is he going to make me young again?
He's going to restore my manhood. He's going to, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to do? The malaika say, what a strange man. أَتَقْنَتُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't ever become despondent in the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives and overlooks everything. The only thing He doesn't forgive is shirk, associating partners with Allah. Brothers, we have become lost in our understanding of Allah, without really understanding what Allah and who Allah truly is. The malaika say, you're such a foolish man, in the sense of the conversation. And they say, Allah is going to give you a son, not only one son, Allah is going to give you another son after that son. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to keep you in the same condition that you're in. You are in this old age, Allah will give you a son just as you are. Allah doesn't work with means, Allah works without means. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability. We still had the incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa taslim, Ya'qub alayhi salatu wa taslim, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, in the ensuing weeks, we're looking at discussing, we're going to have once a week, trying to understand, do you know your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'll conclude, brothers, with the ayah that I began with in the beginning, and I think it's important. Ya ayyuha an-nasu in kuntum fi raybin min al-ba'thi. O insan, if you have any doubt about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's just put this forward to you in a manner that you might understand. Khalaqnakum min tarab. First of all, you were sand, nothing. You were there. You could have been flying this way and that way. خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ تَرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ. From sand, from Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, then we created you from sperm. ثُمَّ مِنْ عَلَقَ, then a congealed clot of blood, a blood clot. ثُمَّ مِنْ مُدْغَةٍ مُخَلَّقَةٍ وَغَيْرِ مُخَلَّقَةٍ. The cycle of life is the most amazing thing. Then we created you from the flesh that could be chewed on. Scholars mentioned that the definition of mudgha, madagha, means something that you can chew. And if you look at that stage in the development of the individual, it's like a flesh that can be chewed. مُخَلَّقَ وَغَيْرِ مُخَلَّقَةٍ لِنُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ. So that we might explain to you. وَنُقِرُّ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. We left you in the womb. How beautiful is Allah. Almost 95-98% of children born within 9 months, in the 9 month period. Nobody, you know exactly what is coming upon you. 9 months, development of a child, no individual, no being, no system, even though they claim that they can create such a thing, they need laboratory conditions. Allah says, you'll be in your mummy's tummy, you'll be in your mother's tummy, she'll be working, she'll be jumping, she'll be cycling, she'll be running, she'll be involved in a car accident. I will protect you, I will nourish you, I'll look after you. They say, we rather save the baby, we might lose the mother, because the baby has a greater chance. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we brought you forward. When you came forward, the mother's system is normally she has a menstrual flow. Allah says in that 9 months we stopped the menstrual flow, we converted it into sustenance for you. But it couldn't be that you were going to take it. You can't put najasa in your mouth, so we put it in an umbilical cord. Then you came out, again the mother, they say one of the most effective methods of contraception is breastfeeding. Then we converted that blood, we changed that system and the flow, we made it flow upwards. So great is Allah, that if you look at the part where the blood comes out, or rather the milk comes out from, scholars mention if you cut it right there, it's blood. When it comes out, it converts immediately to milk. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not on our understanding, but really on the belief that Allah jalla wa ala is limitless and cannot be given a personality. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I do apologize, but as I said, inshallah, in the ensuing weeks, we're going to look at creation, we're going to look at the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to look at the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the next time we make sajda, we know, ya Allah, I don't want to ever get up from the sajda again. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad.